Valerie Smith is my guest in the second hour. Valerie's been a guest on Unreal Bluegrass in the past. Very, very busy performer and business person. She runs Bell Buckle Radio, of which this program is a part. Valerie has a couple of new songs to talk about, and also we're going to talk about a project that she had in the works, a complete CD in her mind that changed course because of the coronavirus pandemic. She'll talk about exactly what happened and what to expect from that, and she'll tell you all the modifications and what's going to come. A couple of new songs in the second hour, Valerie will introduce and discuss them at depth. Thanks so much, Valerie Smith. Thanks so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. You're going to be happy that you did. And my guest for today is Unreal Bluegrass. On Unreal Bluegrass is Valerie Smith, who's been a contributor in the past. Welcome back, Valerie Smith.
Well, hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm always happy to talking to the boss of Bell Buckle Radio.
I don't know if I'm the boss. I think I'm just the person that stands by and lets Bill Foster, who programs it, and you guys do your magic for radio.
You're the boss.
I'm a music enthusiast like everyone else, and I live here in a small town in Bell Buckle, Tennessee, and really needed a station that housed all these different kinds of elements, all these different kinds of shows and DJs that play the music like you guys do. So I just started a Bell Buckle radio internet station so people could tune in and hear the music.
And they do. And I know Valerie well enough in the audience. You sing all kinds of music. You do jazzy things. You do all kinds of things. You have a wide range, and you treat them all with the same passion that you did for what we just heard from a distance. But I've always enjoyed your approach to music and singing and what you put into it. So that having been said, from a distance, let's talk a little bit about that song and why you chose it. I think the audience knows Julie Gold wrote it a long time ago, was eventually given all kinds of awards, and now you've done it, and I think you've vindicated to me off the air that you've had some response from Julie.
I have, and, actually, I didn't choose to do the song. A producer by the name of Midnight Mike Bukowski from New York, he actually called me up and asked if I would sing this song to launch his small label called The Single Factory. And he wanted to do it in honor of being aware of climate change. And at first when he said, from a distance, I wanted to say no, because it's such a classic song. And I'm thinking, how do you do something that was so perfect again? Like Nancy Griffith and Bette Midler. Those are some big shoes to fill when singing a song like that. I usually would never do something like that. That's really, I don't know, I think you have to be vulnerable to learn that you could do something you couldn't do before. and so when I did it, Claire Lynch and Irene Kelly did the trio with me, and they were so encouraging. And those women truly are great in the studio. And they really coached me through the song as well, because, I recorded it one time in the studio, and I didn't like how I did it. I didn't think it sounded as strong as it could have. And so I sent my vocal to Claire and Irene, and by golly, those girls just jumped right in there and cheered me on and coached me through it, until it was right. And then Mike Wachowski wanted to add like a bluegrass version to it. And so he added Mike Mumford on the banjo and Becky Buller on the fiddle and Frank, goodness sakes, my brain's
gone. The mandolin player?
Yes, the mandolin.
Sullivan.
I know Frank.
Frank Sullivan.
Yeah. Isn't that terrible when that happens?
It happens more and more. It happens more and more to us.
I know.
I know.
Frank. Yeah, Frank. And then Jim Hurst on the guitar, and then Mike added his touch on the dobro and the classical guitar, and there's even a string quartet in there. And I was getting ready for any moment. Oh, and Ronald De La Vega, who was on the original bass part on Nancy, played bass on this part. On this version, And I was just getting ready. He had so many instruments on there. I was getting ready for him to say, cowbell. We need more cowbell. No, but Jim Carter was the engineer. And I'm sure that he had his hands full with all of these tracks to mix together and pull together. But once it was pulled together, I saw his vision. And I was really glad that I was on it and a part of it. As you know, any great project or recording isn't just done by one person. Usually it's done by a group of great people. And so really this, I think that this version of From a Distance reflects, you know, the powerhouses in bluegrass and how beautiful they can make a classic song sound. So Julie Gold, you know, immediately emailed me, the writer of it. And she was just so thrilled with the purity of it. And the honesty and the acoustic treatment of it, that she was just, you know, beyond herself, that her song was really presented in a new way, and the lyrics were so vivid in this version. And then, Christine, I guess that has been in a lot of folk groups in New York City, but the ASCAP award winner, Christine Laban, also wrote me, and she thought it was pretty cool hearing a bluegrass version. So it was kind of cool to reach out and learn and meet new people in the folk market. I had not done that before.
Well, and I think, and Christine Laban, huge fan of hers also, so you're talking about some very familiar names to me and hopefully the audience. First of all, I always like to give, you did such a good job. I like to give credit to everybody on a recording when we can fit it in and make it relevant. You did a wonderful job of that. And the song From a Distance is even more so now. It's got some, I would say, a couple of decades old, although I don't know that for sure, but it has to be. But it has always has that. It's the song is about, and people just heard it listening to this program. It's about, you know, stepping back and recognizing, I guess, the overall good or the overall picture, and recognizing maybe also that you get to step back from maybe smaller items that are tangling you up. And it's always been one of my favorite. And like you said, Julie Gold writes wonderful lyrics, and you had a chance to put them in the forefront with the acoustic version that you did. And it's just got to be a really good feeling for you to have it out there and then be contacted by her. I'm certain she won a Grammy for this at some point.
She did. She won a Grammy for it. And, it's just a classic song by a classic songwriter. And that has a lot of meaning. And, who would have thought that we were going to be going through this COVID-19 pandemic, you know, when I recorded this last tune. And I just would have never thought that we would be here in this situation when the song was released and when everybody would be taking pause to their daily lives and looking back and looking on, I don't know about you, but it's made me reflect on the things that I do every day.
Absolutely. And I think maybe in our solitude, to borrow an old song title.
Yeah, I know.
In our solitude, maybe we are confronted more with those type of issues, and maybe we should be without such a dire circumstances surrounding it. So it's perfect timing for the song with what we're all facing right now. And I know that I know that you aren't traveling as a musician. I know that festivals are always I even saw another one today. Festivals are going by the wayside. I don't know how deep into the year it's going to go. Maybe the entire year. I don't know.
I have a feeling it's going to go pretty deep. I've had a lot of festivals cancel on me. But they're making the right decision. And, I think that it's okay that we take pause in our lives. And we wait until we know everybody's going to be safe and healthy. I know it's really a hardship on a lot of people because of jobs and work. And
I agree.
The economy, but. I think festivals, I'm looking forward to them next year because they're going to reschedule. So, that will happen again, and we'll all be together and have a good time and celebrate the fact that we have festivals.
You and I are of a like mind, Valerie, on so many things, including that. We want to make sure everybody's safe, and I think then next year when the festival season comes around, everybody will be that much more appreciative and that much more excited, and the audiences will be that much more excited to see Valerie Smith perform. And so maybe we get all that good feeling back again. I know it's hard for a performer not to perform.
It is really hard, but, you know, I found that, you know, me not jumping on a plane every other weekend or, you know, in a car to go to festival or, you know, I found that me being forced to slow down has actually been good for me artistically. 'Cause I'm playing more, actually, for myself again. And creating more, and in that regard, I'm tickled about that, because before, you know, I didn't have as much time to do that, and I was functioning and doing it into a functioning mode. But this has really been another level of me thinking about what I'm doing and what I'm recording. What I'm saying and what I'm writing. Mm-hmm. So I guess we call it woodshedding.
Woodshedding, and really it is the step back from a distance that now you have a chance to go back and look over all those things. So, yeah, the timing of your release of that song is really great. I have another single from you, which I want you to introduce, Talking to Daddy. And then I want to come back and speak to you again about the project that these will be part of, and when we might expect the full CD. Can you tell us a little bit about the other single that I have from you, Talking to Daddy? Then I want to come back and speak to you again after the audience hears that.
Well, I teach singers, songwriters, and a lot of times songwriters will come here for songwriting lessons. And I have a student named Johnny McDonald, who is a songwriting student of mine here in near Bellbuckle. And he brought me this song, and he said, I want to write this song about my father. And he had it, most of it written, of course. And he brought it to me and said, can we do this in our songwriting class? And so we did it, and he wanted to get it done before his dad passed away. Unfortunately, it did not get recorded before his dad passed away. But his dad had Parkinson's and had been a hero in the Marines. And he really missed his dad. Even though his dad was alive, his dad had developed dementia with his Parkinson's. And he said that it was really hard to talk to his father. And so we got out and we finished the song. And I wanted to record it for him and his family and his dad in honor. You know, I wanted, as a singer, to be able to give something back to my student that I felt like this song meant so much to him. And I thought it was a pretty song and a real thought that a lot of us have. And so I recorded it with Danny Roberts produced it. Andrew Roberts played bass on it. I'm sorry, I'm croaky this morning. I have allergies today.
It's okay.
Danny Roberts, her daughter played the fiddle. And so it was wonderful to have that, you know, the Roberts family involved, and such giving people. And Danny's a very, very talented producer. And we recorded it, and this was the result, and I released it. But yeah, Johnny McDonald was the force behind that song.
Good. I'm talking to Valerie Smith, if you just turned into Unreal Bluegrass, a frequent contributor to Unreal Bluegrass. Beautiful introduction to a really gorgeous song, I think, which will touch many people out there. We're going to play for the audience Talking to Daddy, as described by Valerie. Then we'll be back to talk to Valerie about some other issues, including when there might be an LP. So let's turn on to Talking to Daddy. We'll be right back. Right there, you just heard Talking to Daddy. Everything that Valerie Smith described it as being, beautiful song. You know, the whole, Valerie, as we get older, I don't know if you're getting older, but I am.
I'm getting older.
Right. As we get older, there's a benefit that we're getting older, because you are, and then there's the sad part is that maybe parents who have been around forever, of course, you get older, they get older, and you wind up losing them through a number. It could be Parkinson's, could be any number of things, but that song, I think, will touch a lot of people. Certainly does me. in my family, and I think that's just, you know, it's a blessing that we get to have him that long. And at some point, the virtue is also weighed in with the fact that you're going to miss them when they're gone. Hopefully, you have the relationship where you'll miss parents. I'm not saying in this particular song it ended, but so songs like that, I think, are very touching. Wonderful job from your student and you to get it together.
Well, he did. He just did a great job, and it's honored that I'm always honored when, you know, a student or a songwriter wants me to be a part of their world, you know, and take a peek in their world. And it was fun to get to be, you know, a part of that, and meaningful too.
Yeah, very much, very much. Let's talk about. We got two singles. You may have an album coming out soon. I don't know what schedules are like now with production ends.
They've been canceled.
That's what I figured. But like, give us an idea when we, if things get back to normal.
Recording booths do not have social distancing.
I know. So what do we think then? Are we pushing this into late in the year, next year, when we might get a full?
You know, we're playing it by ear, okay. Literally. You know, this next album that I was in the process of working with Donnie Lisi, and I had some wonderful songs. I don't always write. As a matter of fact, I don't record a lot of my songs that I write, even though I write songs.
Sure.
I actually, my rule has always been pick out the best song, not always your song, and pick out the best songs. It's going to say what you want it to say. And, you know, that's been my role. And so I had my songs lined up, and I had Donnie Lisi's lined up to produce, and this pandemic happened and everything with, you know, no recording studio, no recording studio.
Yeah, nothing.
And so long distance, you know, I called Donna, and as this pandemic went on and on and on, and the news began to get more bleak with a lot of people's hardships. I mean, it's just right now, if you read the news, which I don't every day because it's just too, you know, it can get a little overwhelming to watch the news every day. And but if you do watch the news or you read posts from your Facebook friends and people that you know, it's pretty devastating. There's a lot of devastating stories out there. People, you know, not having any money or jobs right now. And it's just, there's a lot of hardships going on. And I think that when we come out of this pandemic, I really think it's going to sink in what we all lost. And I think there's going to be a period of mourning. You know, I can't see it any other way. As I think we'll be happy to be out of quarantine, but I think that a lot of us are going to hear stories of our friends that have lost their parents in the nursing homes, or, you know, or their friends coming into the hospital and that we're leaving.
That's right.
I mean, and I think the numbers are going to be staggering for us, and it's just going to be a lot for us to sink in. And so I told Donna, I said, I can't record this album that I had in mind. I can't. It's too light. It's too, oh, well, la-di-da-di-da. And I had this album that I was writing songs for based on my great-grandmother's life. And it was called The Boxcar Journal, The Life of Maggie Atterbury, which I was going to do later. And I'd been writing these songs based on her life story in this journal that we found in a trunk. And she was born post-Civil War. And life for children on a farm was very rough in the Midwest during post-Civil War. And her story was one that really surprised us when we read it, that her mother was jealous of her and that her, at a very young age, and her father was extremely, you know, it was extremely strict. I mean, there was a lot of abuse and mental abuse, physical abuse. And then she was married off at 14 to this guy that she didn't really want to marry, but her mother kind of hoaxed her into getting her married because she wanted her gone out of the house. And the marriage ended up being abusive, and she escaped from that marriage with a gun. And anyway, the story has a lot of heartbreak and a lot of realism, and she wrote it so eloquently and beautifully that I am co-writing with my late great grandmother, Maggie Atterbury, basically.
Oh, okay.
And so, even though she's not there for me to touch and talk and feel and think, I'm co-writing with her, because in this journal is just so beautifully written that, you know, I wanted to share her thoughts. And so, you know, Donna knew I was working on this, and I was wanting it to be also a YouTube channel because I do the filmography. And I told her, I said, I think it's time to record this album. I don't think the other album is the right time. And she completely agreed. So I've been working pretty hard getting these songs wrapped up and written, so when we come out of quarantine, I can get them recorded. But it's going to be The Life of Maggie Atterbury Brooks,
good.
The Boxcar Journal.
Great.
And so I'm excited that I get to tell her story finally, because it's been on my mind for about 5 years since the journal.
And see now, Valerie, we look for silver linings, a worn-out phrase, but now because of this delay, you've had a chance to go back and make that connection again.
Yes, and it's. I think that the story, her story, is uplifting in the fact that she got out of a very difficult situation and was able to rise from the ashes on that.
Yeah.
And I think people need to hear stories like that now. I think because we've all taken pause, like we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more quiet now than any time. I think that people, you know, can hear her story, and that she will be able to teach people, you know, her lesson in life, because people, I think, are able to stop. There's not so much noise. People will listen.
I think when this is over, and it'll at the right time, this will be over. I think that maybe from what all of us take, you don't need my editorial on this, but I think that when it's all over, we'll all recognize that we need to slow down and take pause and reflect. Even though the urgent need is no longer there, I hope we take away from this that we need to find that time to be alone and rethink and pause and reflect.
Absolutely.
You know, I hope that's a good benefit that we have as a society. Valerie Smith. I always enjoy talking to you. I have one more tune that you did a duet with Steve Harris. I want you to introduce that. Then I'm going.
I did. This is my year to do things with people, music things that you know, I always wanted to do. So Steve Harris is from a band in West Virginia called Circa Blue,
mm-hmm.
And he is a singer, songwriter, instrument. He probably plays anything strings, you know. And he approached me about this song called I Sing Your Song and wanted me to sing a duet with him on it at Will Shank's studio in West Virginia. And I it's a beautiful song. Him and Dave Morris and Don Kinney wrote it. And it's a song similar in what we've been talking about, is that, I just sing a lot more happier songs, just so you know.
Yeah.
But this song is about losing somebody also to dementia and the impact that it has on the person and the family that's living through that. And he told me that, you know, him and Don, they had lost people close to them. And he said, you know, he goes, I thought in my heart every time I'm on a stage, you know, I sing your song. And in other words, you know, we all feel for you and we all remember you and you're important to us. And, you know, and so I got to sing the duet with him on this. And I thought that was pretty cool.
It's a beautiful song. Like you said, people, trust me, if you don't know Valerie, she's not always singing sad, wistful songs, but
no,
it just so happens
really
to be that. Yeah, I mean, she's a joy to watch, and even if she's singing a slower ballad type of a song, it's always fun to watch Valerie on stage. But so we're going to play this tune, I Sing Your Song, and I'm going to let you get away, and I will make you promise that when the new album is together, that you'll come back and share with me again.
Oh, I will be thrilled. I'll be so excited about that.
Okay.
And thanks for having me on Unreal Bluegrass. I really appreciate it. And spinning the tunes.
And, well, you know, you always have an open. I say that to very few people, but I've always told Valerie you have an open invitation. There's only a handful of people that have that. You have an open invitation, and I mean that. So when we're ready, we'll talk again.
Okay, thanks.
Good. Now we'll play Let You Go as I sing your song, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, bye.